of us, we're going to continue in our series on spiritual warfare today as a lifestyle, right? If you would turn with me to Luke 4, verses 18 and 19, that's where we're going to begin today. Luke 4, verses 18 and 19. And this is spiritual warfare, part 4. We spent the first three messages talking about spiritual warfare as a lifestyle, and we wrapped up last week talking about the fact, the last point we looked at was reacting in the right way is warfare, and because adversity is part of life in a fallen world, and no one is exempt. Now today, we're going to really shift gears in this series and move into our second major point of this series, which is this. We who are in Christ have a responsibility to continue the ministry Jesus came to establish. Okay? And that is spiritual warfare as well, continuing the ministry that Jesus came here to establish. All right? Again, we'll be looking at our first scripture will be Luke 4, 18 through 19. And one of the things that he came here to do, establish as a ministry, is setting the captives free. If you're a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, then you are one of those people that was a captive to sin. Captive to Satan, and Jesus Christ sets you free at the moment you were born again. Amen. All right? Beginning to read in Luke 4, 18 through 19. And by the way, Jesus, in this passage, was in the temple, and he had been handed the scroll of Isaiah, and he took the scroll and he rolled it to the point where it's recorded in Isaiah 61, verses 1 and 2, and he read from there. And that's what this account is him reading Isaiah 61, verses 1 and 2. It's recorded in Luke 4, verses 18 and 19. Now, beginning to read. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word, and we just pray that as we look into your word again today, that our hearts would be open, that it would be receptive, that our minds would be fruitful, Lord, to retain that which you would have us to retain today. I pray that you would put a watch on my mouth, that I would only speak the words that you've ordained for this morning, not a word more, a word less, and in all of it, that you be glorified, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. So Jesus makes abundantly clear in this passage what he came to establish in establishing his kingdom. He made it abundantly clear to those that had their eyes fixed on him as he turned to Isaiah 61 when the scroll had been handed to him. And he starts out, he's making it clear. He said, I am the one, in verse 21, if you look down, if you're looking in your Bible, look down to verse 21. He said, I'm the one this was written about. And boy, that made him want to kill him all the worse. You know, because he's claiming to be God. Well, yeah, because he was. And he is, right? So he says to them, the Spirit of the Lord is on me. Well, when we get born again, we are born again with the Spirit of the living God. And God makes a deposit of his Spirit in us. So at that point, he not only saves us, But then he begins the process of equipping us to do what God has called us all to do, and that is to continue the kingdom of God that Jesus Christ came here to establish, spent 3.5 years, paid the price for sin, was whipped for our transgressions, right? So, he says, abundantly clear, the Spirit of the Lord is on me. Why? Because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. Now that does not mean just people that are of low income. That's not what that's... He's preaching to those that are poor in spirit. Okay? And that could be a person that is very affluent financially, or it could be a person that's very lowly, and everything in between. But he came to preach to those that are poor in spirit. And by doing that, that people would come to him after he paid the price for sin and receive all this power that is available in the Spirit of the living God. Said he's anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners. People are in bondage to Satan, to Lucifer. You use whatever name you want to. It's the same one. Until we come to the place where we are broken and humbled and reach out and cry out to Jesus, repent of our sins, and give our lives to him. Invite him to come in and be Lord and Savior of our lives. At that point, as I said, he seals us in him with his Holy Spirit. Now, this is a different message, and I'm not going to go down this road a long ways, but there's more to be sought after, and that is the baptism with the Holy Spirit. At the point when we get born again, we are baptized into the Holy Spirit. Okay? And that's that seal that we are sealed with. But then there is the baptism with the Holy Spirit. And Jesus is the baptizer. Jesus is the baptizer with the Holy Spirit. Okay? Now, that's a different message when I'm teaching on the Holy Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit and different things. But I wanted to put that out there for anyone who has never been taught about this. Okay, so, he has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, to set everyone free that would receive Christ as Lord and Savior. And then also it says, recovery of sight for the blind. Now, why out of all of the miracles that God does, would in this passage, would it have been prophesied this way by Isaiah and recorded in Isaiah 61, verses 1 and 2, and then Jesus read it again in front of the Pharisees and say, I'm that guy, why would it focus on sight for the blind? Again, yes, it can be talking about physical sight. But more than that, it's talking about giving us new vision through the Spirit of the living God. That we would get spiritual insight and really be able to see things for what they are. Are you with me? So, I can attest, when I got born again, I got a spiritual vision that I did not have before. Okay? And I'm not necessarily talking about visions. I'm talking about seeing things differently. I got new eyes to see with, if you will, to see things in the Spirit. There are times where God opens my eyes, my spiritual eyes, and I can see demons. Now some of you might think I'm crazy, or I'm telling you, this has happened many times over the years. You want me to be honest with you? When I came in this building, when we were looking at opening this church almost 20 years ago, okay? I came in this building and was walking around in this building, and there were demons running all over in this building when I came in there. Had to spend a lot of time in here praying and anointing and praying the demonic activity out of this building before we opened the church. Now, you can either believe that or not believe that. If you don't believe it, it doesn't make it any less true. Okay? I got no reason to tell you that if it's not true. I just want you to understand, with the Spirit of God, then you begin to see things that go beyond what's in the physical. Okay? So, he came to give recovery of sight for the blind so that we could really see. How many of you know your word? How many of you remember Gehazi? Raise your hand if you remember Gehazi. Yeah. Gehazi was the servant of Elisha, yes. And Gehazi was freaking out because there was a great army that surrounded them. And he was freaking out. And Isaiah, man, he was in the Holy Ghost. Elisha was in the Holy Ghost. And he said, Lord, open his eyes that he might see. And the Spirit of God opened Gehazi's eyes. And then he saw in the Spirit God's army. When he saw God's army compared to the army that was gathered against him, it was laughable. He had no more fear. Amen? So that's what we're talking about. Now that was Old Testament compared to New Testament, and there are some differences there, but still, it's a matter of really receiving vision, really receiving sight, and having an understanding that we never had before. Does that make sense to you? So, and then he says, to release the oppressed. Oh man, before I got born again, I remember how oppressed I was. Oh, when I was around everybody else, I was the good time guy. I was the party animal. But when I was by myself, I was so depressed, I couldn't hardly function. Wouldn't let people see that because, see, I was afraid that would make me look weak. So I only let them see the good time guy, but inside I was dying. Do you understand what I'm talking about? How many of you been there? Inside you're just dying. But you won't let anybody see it. But God knows. God sees it all. Jesus came to release the oppressed, and I want to tell you, I had oppression on me that was literally crushing the weight of the oppression. And when I received Jesus Christ, and you've heard me talk about this, when I opened my heart to Jesus Christ and invited Him to be my Lord and Savior, it was like a whoosh that went through me. It was like a power washer on the inside. I don't know how else to explain it. I got power washed on the inside. And no longer did I have the weight of that oppression. No longer did I have to deal with that. Now, mind you, as time goes by, after that experience, there are times where the enemy tries to heap that stuff all right back on you through unforgiveness, through all kinds of things. And again, that's a different message, but you understand what I'm saying? He's always wanting to drag us into unforgiveness and offense to try to get us back under that oppression. So, in spiritual warfare, we need to learn how to deal with that. Because God has already provided a way. His name is Jesus. For us to be set free from that oppression as well. He said, I'll proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. So we who are in Christ have a responsibility to continue this ministry that Jesus came to establish. When Jesus said, go into the world and preach the gospel, he told us also to cast out demons in his name. Unfortunately, most churches and most people that call themselves Christian think you are completely over the top if you believe in demons today and casting out demons, who believe in demon possession. Many, many people, the majority of those that call themselves Christian, don't believe that's even relevant. But I'm here to tell you, God's word don't lie, and there's a reason he left us this ministry.
That's right.
And I already knew it was real, because ever since I gave my life to Christ, I don't have a shingle hanging out on my office door or anything, but I have been involved in deliverance ministry. Okay? I've been involved in that, so I know it's real. But I want to tell you something. My experiences in Africa on mission trips these last many years in several different countries there, I'm here to tell you that gave me a fresh revelation of how intense that can be. I need you to understand how real this is. One of the times that I was there, we were in Uganda, and we were at a church ministering, and there was an outpouring of God that started. The Spirit of God came right through the crowd when another pastor was up there kind of doing announcements. He wasn't really preaching, okay? I was the one that was actually supposed to be preaching, so he was taking care of some preliminary stuff, and all of a sudden, I sensed the Spirit of God. Remember I told you, you know, the eyes, the vision? I saw the Spirit of God come in like a wave and start going through the crowd. And the Lord spoke to me and said, go start putting your hands on people that I'll point you to. So I just spontaneously, some people would say that was out of order, but I was just obeying God. I was standing over on the side with Pastor Don Beasley, who I had brought with me, and a couple other African pastors, and I all of a sudden, just out of obedience, slowly started moving out and going in the crowd and reaching out to put my hands on people. Well, when I started doing that, before I even touched them, they fell out. They were on the floor like they'd been hit with a hammer. But only the ones that God led me to, this one, random. Okay. It's all good. God's in control. All of a sudden, I see some African people surrounding a woman that was down on the floor. You need to understand something. Satan is always working to disrupt what God is doing. He will try to copy what God is doing. Okay, so here's this young woman that was down on the floor. And these people didn't know what they were doing. They were involved in witchcraft. Witchcraft is terrible in third world nations, almost all of them. And so there was a lot of witchcraft. They didn't know what they were doing at all. One guy, he had a rag in his hand, and he was swinging that and kind of swatting and talking in African language. I don't know. I couldn't understand what he was saying. But and thought that was going to set them free. They operated in so many myths. And there was another person that was spitting on him. For some reason, thought that was the way to get rid of demons. They knew it was demon activity, but they had no idea how to do it. So I came in the middle of that, and I said, no, I don't think they understood me, but I said, no. This is the way you do deliverance. So I got on my knees next to this young woman, and she turned her head toward me, and all that was there was the whites of her eyes. They were rolled completely back. Okay? And she hissed at me like a snake. turned her head sideways, looked at me, and went. And the next thing I knew, it was like every bone in her body came unjointed and went to gel because she started slithering like a snake across the floor. I'm serious, this is not even physically possible, but it was happening right in front of me. Well, I almost, because she was slithering like that, I was kind of crawling across the floor to catch up with her. Come here, you devil! Long story short, I got a hold of her by the head, and I bound Satan in the mighty name of Jesus, commanded him that he would no longer be disrupting this service, disrupting what God is doing. And I bound that thing, that hellish demon that was there, actually there were several, and started praying, and the demons started coming off of her. And the next thing you know, her body was like it was supposed to be, and she stood up and started praising Jesus.
Hallelujah.
And she was at the rest of the meetings that we had on that trip in that church.
Hallelujah.
Deliverance is real. Spiritual warfare is real. We are in a battle in this world. And it's heating up because we're walking in the last days, guys. If you haven't figured it out, we are in the last days. Now, how long that's going to go, I don't know. I don't claim to. But it is evident we are in the last days because we see the prophesied things for the last days. We are seeing most of it get fulfilled. We're living it. Now, Mark 16, verses 15 through 18. Gospel of Mark 16, verses 15 through 18. Jesus is commanding his disciples here. He said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. But whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons."
Yes.
Do you see it?
Yeah.
"In my name, they will drive out demons." Jesus did it, right? But he's saying, you go do what I've taught you to do, what I've empowered you to do. "In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up..." Now, don't. There's groups. "Down in the deep south and some other areas in the U.S., that actually take snakes into their church services and people have to pick up snakes. I'd be guessing that 90% of the people will be running out of here if we try to do that. But you don't need to worry about it. Because if you study this part out, it's merely saying that snakes will be of no effect to you. If you're walking in the Spirit of God, if they bite you, poisonous snakes, they'll be of no effect to you. And I know that's true because another friend, pastor friend, Pastor Henry in Uganda, who cared for us all the times we've been in Uganda, he got bit by a very poisonous snake in his shower. It had crawled in, he didn't see it, it was a mamba. They kill you dead in a matter of minutes. He got bit on his big toe. And long story short, he immediately dropped to his knees and prayed and claimed God's protection. And that man is still alive today. And he is an evangelist, seeing hundreds of people saved every month under his ministry.
Hallelujah.
His name is Pastor Henry. Give God praise for that. So they will pick up snakes with their hands. When they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. Don't drink poisonous things to test your God. We are never supposed to test our God. He tests us. But we are never supposed to test our God. This is merely talking about if you accidentally get poisoned, it will be of no effect to you. If you're living in Christ and you're walking by faith, you literally will continue to live because of the power, the manifest power of God. We're not supposed to test the Lord our God. Remember, Satan is a sly one. He took Jesus, right, to the highest point on a mountaintop. What did he say? Throw yourself down. And he quotes scripture from the 91st Psalm and said, for God will surely put his angels in charge of you and protect you. And Jesus' response was what? He quoted scripture. He said, test not the Lord your God. Right? And serve him only. So, anyway, I wanted you to understand that snakes will not harm you if you're a believer and walking in faith, and deadly poison, if you're accidentally poisoned, will not harm you as well. Remember the snake that latched onto Peter, right? Poisonous snake. And everybody that was there around the fire was waiting for him to fall down dead. Remember? But what? Paul. That's right. Not Peter. Paul. And not Mary. Not Peter, Paul, and Mary. Paul. That's the second time I've messed up names this morning. Right from my head. Anyway, Paul just shook the thing off him. It was a poisonous serpent. Just shook the thing off him. He wasn't looking to test God. He just was walking in the power of God. And with that, as well as everything else, reaching the lost, he just shook that snake off in the fight. That's what we're talking about here. It will not hurt them at all, it says in verse 18. They will place their hands on sick people and they will get well. Why do we not see as much of that now? Because many people don't expect God to be a miracle. Oh, people pray for one, but down deep don't believe it. Jesus said, if you have faith, isn't that what he says? If you have faith. So, it's definitely spiritual warfare that helps us and also all the people in our circle of influence if we operate in the ministry that God has called us into through Jesus Christ and has equipped us to accomplish. He not only has called us, he has equipped us to be powerful in this world instead of pitiful. The problem is too many are pitiful because they don't believe that God could actually do something through that, through them like that. Listen, none of us is perfect. I know from meeting with people, from ministering to people for all these years now, I know that the liar, Satan himself, has lied to many people, and because they are imperfect, because they made this mistake years ago, because they committed this sin or that sin, because of this or that or the other thing, he's always telling people, well, God could never do that through you because you're not good enough. You know what? Not a single one of us is good enough. God has called us to launch out in faith. So, what are our defensive and offensive weapons? Well, we can't hardly address that without looking at the armor of God as recorded in Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 17. Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 17. And it says this: "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power." Notice it doesn't say in your own strength. It doesn't even mention our own strength. It says, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Stop for a moment. How many times have you heard me, especially the last few years, make it clear that God had put it on my heart that we need to start standing? Stand up and speak up. How many of you have heard me countless times say that in the last 2-3 years? It's something that God had just been resonating inside of me. Stand up and speak up for what is right. Well, here it is. Put on the full armor of God so that you can stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Stop again. Our battle is not against flesh and blood. I've shared with you in the past about when God was teaching me about spiritual warfare. I shared it with you in the first message in this series about the exhaust pipe. How many of you remember? I was going to fight this thing in the physical, the way I would in the physical, and swung that pipe. It was like a noodle, completely powerless against what I was fighting. I got a good education from that. That made my heart pound in that dream. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. That is the battle that we are in. That is what we are fighting. We war not against flesh and blood. Our war in this world, ultimately, is not with people. We tend to blame the people because many times the demonic things come through people. But our battle is not with the people. Our battle is with what's in the people. Are you with me? I don't know how many of you have done much study on the revivalists back in the early 1900s, when there were revivalists that were, they were just powerful, man. And one of them said, well, he punched a guy in the mouth. He punched him in the stomach. It was Smith Wigglesworth. I'll give you the name. It was the revivalist Smith Wigglesworth. And there was a guy that come up in an altar call, and he called back, and he punched this guy in the stomach. And guess what happened? He threw up, and he threw up a great big tumor. God healed him when he punched him. Well, you know how the newspapers would be. And the newspapers were covering all of these radical meetings that were going on. Okay? and having some fun making fun of it sometimes along the way. You know how media is, and it was much better then than it is now. Over 100 years ago, it was a lot different than now. But my point is this. Smith's Wigglesworth was approached by that and made fun of, had a reporter that was making fun of him for punching this guy in the stomach. And said, why did you punch that guy? And he said, oh, I didn't punch him. I was punching the demon that was in it. He just got in the way.
Yeah.
And when he did, the tumor came right up out of him. And the man was healed. The guy that got punched wasn't complaining. He got healed. We've got to learn to see in the spirit, looking beyond the physical. In this life that we're living, we have got to learn to see what really is instead of what's on the surface. Most of the time, what's on the surface isn't what the truth is. That's why we can't always depend on the fact of seeing is believing. Sometimes what we think we see isn't really what we think it is. We assume things, right? Some of you aren't too sure. That's all right. I'm giving you a lot of food for thought today, right? Verse 13. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, you think this is important? Stand firm then. How many times are we going to see stand here? I think standing is important. Okay? So stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist and with the breastplate of righteousness in place and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, every piece of this armor, including the sword, we are not going to take the time to do this, but every one of those pieces of armor, there is a reference in Scripture to Christ. So literally, what he's talking about when we are putting on the armor of God is we are putting on Christ. Okay? Every single piece of that armor, there's a reference in the Word of God to Christ. Every single one of them. So it's a good study. You might want to dig into that. So, you think it's important we stand? There's a position in being trained to fight that's called the ready-ready position. And in that ready-ready position, it's with a firm footing, balanced, knees bent, okay? Ready for battle. Alright? That's literally, in the original language, what it's talking about when it keeps saying stand. Get in your ready, ready stance, where you're balanced, you're ready for battle. Knees bent. Why do you want your knees bent? So that if you catch a shot in the knees, you don't end up with a hyperextended leg. Knees bent, not locked. So what are our offensive weapons then? 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 through 5. I was trying to decide if I was just going to stop here, but no, I'm going to. It's 5 till. We're going to get this point before we quit. Our offensive weapon, 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 through 5. Here again, we're going to see, made abundantly clear by Paul in his letter to 2 Corinthians, that physical battle is different than spiritual battle. Verse 3 says, "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does." The world wages war in the flesh, right? The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of this world. That's why that pipe went limp when I swung it at the person entering our house. In the dream. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. In spiritual warfare, one of the major battlegrounds is in our mind. There has been a lot written, a lot preached about that. Joyce Meyer has addressed that much in her preaching and in her books. One of her books that she wrote years ago, it was actually entitled The Battlefield of the Mind, if I remember correctly. There's probably a copy in our library downstairs. Okay? Battlefield of the mind. Our mind is a huge battlefield. But we see here that we can overcome with our offensive weapons. See, the weapons that we fight with are not weapons of this world. In the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We can end up with strongholds in our minds. I was talking about earlier when we were talking about earlier in this message, talking about overcoming and being used by God, right? And I mentioned that people that literally have strongholds in their minds of unbelief because the devil has fed you full of lies. Well, you're not good enough. Well, you can't do that. Well, God couldn't really use you because you did this. He uses all kinds of lies to keep us beat down so that we are not in the full flow of the Spirit of God. The weapons God gives us with have to do with belief in our mind and taking every thought captive to make it obedient to what Christ has to say about you. Don't pay attention to what Satan has to say about you. Tell him to get behind you. Get behind me, Satan, in the name of Jesus. And remind him of his future. When he reminds you of your past, you remind Satan of his future. Because his future is very bleak. Read it in the Word. So, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up. See, if it's setting itself up, it's a stronghold against the knowledge of God. Are you seeing this? Very important. How we cultivate our mind. What we believe, what we kick out. There's a lot of stuff that comes into our mind from our flesh, but also that Satan whispers in our mind and creates unbelief and creates strongholds that hinder us and keep us down. That's what he wants us to be. He wants us to be powerless. He's not so worried about it that much if we ourselves are saved, But he sure don't want us reproducing. And Satan throws everything he can at us to keep us from reproducing. Last week we mentioned this, so I'm just going to go over it very quickly. The three major weapons of our warfare are the power of the name of Jesus, the Word of God, which is the double-edged sword. You saw the sword of the Spirit in Ephesians in that passage a little bit ago. And then thirdly, the blood of Jesus. Weapons of our warfare. Plead the blood of Jesus over yourself. Blood of protection. Plead the blood of Jesus over your mind. Pray before you read Scripture that God will give you retention and recall. Retention and recall. So that we retain what we read. And when something in our life comes up that we need the recall of what we read, then God brings that recall by the power of His Spirit. I'm telling you, if you start praying those things, you're going to see a difference. You'll realize that all of a sudden, God's giving you recall, and when you are in a situation where you're in a, we'll call it a conversation instead of an argument with an unbeliever, a debate, that's a good word, right? When you're in a debate with an unbeliever, the Spirit of God will give you recall of Scripture that will rebut everything that those that are controlled by demons would speak to you to try to bring confusion. Confusion never comes from God. Confusion always comes from the enemy. So also in spiritual warfare, you pray for a spirit of confusion over the enemy. Okay? All right. Now, I think we're going to quit there. It's about time, right? You getting hungry yet? You didn't hear it, but I think my stomach growled about 5 minutes ago. Did you learn something today, guys? Something you can use in your life? Let's stand together. Father, I just extend my hands merely as your representative. And I just pray in Jesus' name that you hedge us in. Lord, that you grow us up as we seek after you. That we understand that we truly are in a war, but you have equipped us to be overcomers. Lord, give us the retention and the recall of these things, of your principles, that, Lord, having done all to stand, we would be able to stand there for. Lord, bring us back safely Wednesday night or next weekend, whichever be the case. Watch over us, Lord, throughout this week, and use us to be a light in a dark world. For your glory, in Jesus' name, amen. God bless. We love you.